Hey, thanks so much for listening to the Ridge Community Church podcast. My name is John. I'm one of the pastors on staff at the Ridge, and our vision is to bring the hope of Jesus into every home. So as a piece of that, our goal each week is to bring you something that's hopeful and helpful. So subscribe to this podcast to make sure you don't miss any hopeful and helpful conversations.
Hey, everyone, and thanks for listening to this episode of the Ridge podcast. If you find today's episode hopeful and helpful, then please follow or subscribe and then rate and review so that more people can find the conversation. If you're watching on YouTube, be sure to give us a follow and turn on your notifications so that you don't miss any of the conversations that we have coming your way. Now, today, I get to share with all of you a chat that I had with our discipleship director at the Ridge, Brody Swanson. And we chat about how we can go about searching for answers to our faith questions. And how can we do that in a helpful way? Now, we go over things like how do we know what sources to trust? How do we put our own biases aside? And a lot more. This is my conversation with Brody. Hi, Brody. Thanks for coming on to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me again. I really enjoy these conversations.
And thanks for joining us right in the heart of March Madness. I know you probably turned off about four different games to join us for this. But hey, I won't make you release your picks because I don't want, you know, this to be proven folly a few days from now when this airs. But yes. What's your strategy? What's your strategy for making your March Madness picks?
Well, the first thing I do is I watch the selection show. Some people are like, hey, I'm just going to get the brackets and I'm going to go through and fill them out from what I know. So I'll watch the selection show on CBS and they always have good stuff to say. And then I kind of look around and I look at different experts. Jay Billis is one of my favorite. He's got a show called My Bracket is Better Than Your Bracket. And it's a great show.
Love that humility. Yeah.
I know. He's a humble guy. But I'll watch that whole thing. And then I'll just go through and, you know, I'll fill out a couple brackets and try a bunch of different things and then finally decide on something, usually Wednesday night, so that I got it in on time.
Yeah, I'm excited to see. We got a little staff bracket going around the Ridge. I'm excited to see who's going to pull out victorious. I feel pretty confident that I will not be victorious because my strategy is much more along the lines of like, this seems right.
little shock and awe.
Exactly. On the picks. Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. I do think this is a fun question to ask because I do think it showcases one. I think, you know, there's some interest there, but two, I do think it brings out some of the like, how detailed is somebody? Like, what is somebody's research process, which, ready for this segue, is what we're kind of talking about today. How do you get answers to your questions when you got some big questions? And I think maybe, you know, in general, we were talking, I think it was for a Christmas, right around Christmas time, we did a podcast episode and you mentioned just how valuable you find just like the mentality of curiosity. And I think that works for somebody that's, you know, just hasn't even made a decision to follow Jesus yet. And they're like hearing about faith and like, okay. And they kind of lean in with some curiosity to the person who, you know, has been following for a long time and still has like faith questions, you know, or wants to re-wrestle through some things that maybe they're like, oh, I thought it was this way before, but now it might be a little bit different. In the midst of that, you got faith questions. And so like, I don't know if you have, maybe this, okay. Is there anything we should do before we go looking for answers to our big faith questions?
Yeah, I think there's a number of things. I think you touched on just a minute ago is giving yourself permission to be curious is a good thing. I think there's some things that we're like, well, I could ask this question and I already know the answer to it. So I'm just going to accept it. Deconstructing answers that we've known forever and then reconstructing them with new information, we might come to the same conclusion, but that process is both freeing and helpful. Because I'm convinced that God wants us to ask hard questions. He wants us to dig deep instead of just going, oh, I'm supposed to know this and this is what I should think because this is what I was told. So I think that's the first thing. I think also we should not underestimate the power of our upbringing when it comes to our perspectives. I think that the way that we were raised, whether it was in a home where God was something that was a conversation or a home where it was avoided at all costs, there are certain things that are set in place as constructs in our minds that would say, this question's okay, this question's not okay. I should ask this one, or, hey, that's already decided, I don't get to ask that one. And so don't underestimate those things, because that limits your curiosity and it limits the ability for you to, as an adult, come to some conclusions. And I think the third thing would be, there's a phrase that says the mind comes to a conclusion and then goes looking for evidence. Is if you're going to be curious, then be curious. Mm-hmm. Walk in with it in a way that you would say, hey, I'm willing to relook at things that I may have previously decided, or I'm really hoping to find this answer because I want to win this argument. And maybe I just need to look at the evidence as it is and make a decision based on what I see.
I think you hit something really good there with like win the argument, right? Because, and this could be on any side of any spectrum, right? Anytime you go looking for ammo to sling at someone, you know, I'm sure we all love to do that because now we've got something in the back pocket to give the answer to the question that, you know, the gotcha. And I don't think that one, I know that's not going to be helpful for the person being slung some stuff at. And I don't think it's super genuine either, because it's not a pursuit of something to kind of have a better understanding. You're trying to, I don't know the right phrasing, but it's not authentic, I guess.
I think you're trying to win. Yeah. And in life, if your sole goal in any situation is to win, then you're probably going to miss a large part of what the situation's all about. Mm. And I know that's a really broad and opinionated viewpoint, but if you look through it, I mean, I even think of in sports, everybody's like, well, the goal is to win the game. Well, yeah, but there's beauty in the way the game is played. There's value in the way that you do it with others. There's all those things. So if it's just win at all costs, you're going to miss a lot of what the game is all about. And it's the same thing in especially spiritual and maybe political conversations, but we won't go down that rabbit hole. But spiritual conversations.
You can catch last week's episode if you want to dive into some more thoughts on
but,
that.
But in spiritual conversations, if your goal is to beat the other person, then you miss the beauty in the dialogue. And I think that's what God always intends, is that when we have a conversation that's a dialogue, there's a lot that goes on there that helps us become a better person and a more well-rounded perspective, and have a more well-rounded perspective in our minds.
Do you think the pursuit kind of changes depending on where somebody is in their faith journey, right? So say somebody is at, you know, I am not sure about faith. Is there any type of background for any of this stuff? Like I mentioned before, all the way up to, you know, there's so many stages along that, right? There's, I just made a decision, but I'm curious about, you know, what does Jesus actually say about these things? Does that process look different, or is it kind of similar principles that maybe just apply differently?
I think the questions are different. I think that when you're considering the claims of Jesus and you're considering something, but you're not yet, wouldn't yet consider yourself a follower of Jesus, I think your questions are a little more foundational. It's like, you know, who is God? And is the Bible to be trusted? And is Jesus who he said he was? And, you know, everybody says, well, God guides. And we ask those types of questions. Whereas when that foundation has been laid at an 80% rate, because we're always thinking through things. When that foundation's been laid, then it's, I think we start to wrestle with things we come up against. And if you end up with family around you, or you have kids, or you have friend groups, and there's stuff that comes up in those places that you're like, I understand what culture says about this, and I understand what my gut says about this, but what does God really say about this? And how do I fit those things together so I have a worldview, a view of what's going on in the world, that's informed not only by my emotions and by my connections, but also by my faith and how I believe God to be?
Yeah, I also imagine there's got to be, even if you've been following for a while, we know that we want to be in a position where we can share our faith dynamically and to a certain extent have answers to people's questions. I know that's not the goal per se, but you know, I think that our ability to have conversations around those types of questions can be very valuable. One of the things that I think is super important is to know yes, where somebody is on their own question asking journey, but know what type of answers are going to be helpful for them, right? Like if you talk about a foundational thing, right? Let's say, for example, if you are firm in your conviction that, you know, Jesus is God, he rose from the dead, and the Bible's true, well, the way you're going to talk to somebody who's a fellow like follower and believer of that, you're going to give answers based on, hey, check out this verse in the Bible where Paul said this thing. That's going to inform your opinion on that. Versus you're talking to somebody who doesn't believe the Bible. You say that, it's like, well, that's great. Good to know Paul thought that, whoever this Paul guy is, you know?
Right.
So.
Yeah, here's what I heard on CNN the other day. And they're equals. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So with that in mind, I think that's really interesting to know, like think through like the different question asking perspective, like what types of questions you're asking. Sticking with this theme of like, depending on where you're at in your journey, do you think your source for these, like where you go to ask these questions is different, or can they be the same?
I think sometimes they're the same. I think as you're on a spiritual journey and you would be a follower of Jesus longer, you're going to come into contact more naturally with different resources.
Sure.
But I would tell you that the foundational ones are the same. Mm-hmm. And I think if I were to walk out what I think is the best way to go about resources, I think you start by saying, okay, am I curious about who God is? Am I willing to give him a shot to have a voice in the whole equation? And if my answer is yes to both of those, then I would tell you, in whatever way or shape you know, pray about it. Ask God, say, hey, I'm curious about you. If you're for real, would you speak in some way, shape, or form? Would you guide me to somebody? Would you help me to think clearly? And then see what happens. I'm a firm believer that, I mean, the Bible tells us that if we look for him, he's not going to hide. And so to give him a shot at it. And then I think instead of going straight to, hey, I'm going to go Google it, because that is where we go nowadays. Yeah. That's the default. Find a trusted person that you think, hey, this is a decent human being and they have faith. Why don't I ask them a few things, and kind of like what I go to Jay Billis for advice on the NCAA brackets.
He's a way to bring it back. Voice. Way to bring it back. I love that. Yeah.
But I mean, he's a trusted voice. And so I'm sure that most people know somebody who goes to church or would consider themselves a follower. I would start with a conversation with them and say, hey, how do you answer some of these questions? And where do you go looking for those answers? And then after that, I would read books. I know this sounds weird, but we
just lost a whole group of people, man.
I know. I know. But here's the thing is that there are books and publishers that help us come to conclusions, and they're in a bounded set of what we can trust. We know they're not way out here, and we know they're not way out here. It can give me a place to jump off of. Whereas when I go online, I mean, the algorithm for getting me information has nothing to do with truth and accuracy, has everything to do with other things. And so then after I've talked to people, and after I've asked God, hey, if you're real, would you be part of this thing? And after I've possibly looked at some books or just gone to Barnes and Noble and didn't have to buy the book, but but looked through it, then I think going online and seeing, you know, what are some of the people on the landscape saying about this kind of stuff. And so it's kind of a multifaceted exploration.
So I feel like I'm grilling you here, but I'm just gonna keep going after.
No, it's good.
So say somebody is, okay, they're in a position, they haven't made a decision, they're still trying to figure out following Jesus, right? Maybe somebody listening right now is in that camp. And, you know, I've heard some of frustration can be like, yes, okay, but you're recommending me, you know, Christian thinkers. Of course they think that way. Of course their answer is blah, 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 right? Mm-hmm. Do you ever like a thought or a response on that?
I have a couple of thoughts. First, I think the idea of a genuine exploration is mostly missing in the Christian circles. There is an exploration with agenda that happens. It's like, I'm going to get you in here and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to answer your question, but really I'm just trying to get you to a point where you believe what I believe and that you take on this agenda, drink the Kool-Aid, so to speak.
Sure.
And so I would tell you a couple of things. First, look for a place where genuine exploration can take place. And thankfully, there is a space for that. And it's called Alpha. And I know it's a program that's usually hosted at churches, but it's built differently. In fact, some of the training that gets done says, hey, don't try to convince someone of your point of view. This is a group of people getting together and saying, hey, this is the question that I'm asking. And what does this person think? And what does this person think? And people from all sorts of different backgrounds get to put their information on the table and you get to sift through it. And so that's one of the things that I would say, if you can find an environment like that, where there's genuine exploration, and go the first time. And if you feel like there's an authentic curiosity happening there, then go back. The second thing is to look for people who have started as skeptics and ended up in the other place. And one of the guys that did that a while ago, but he's a really gifted writer, is Lee Strobel.
Yeah.
And he started out looking around trying to find evidence to discredit the things of God and things like that. And his journey that he puts down in writing is kind of a helpful journey. You might not come to the same conclusion, but to at least follow his journey, that's an interesting type of thing. So
I love that, because I think that, you know, you're, well, and if I can like answer some of this question too, you know, like,
sure.
I think that at a base ground understanding, it's like, just because somebody has like a certain perspective doesn't mean that their information's wrong. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so you can go into those settings and yeah, they're going to present their case because obviously that's what they believe. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's skewed. That just means that they're sharing their findings on the evidence. And so I would encourage, like, don't necessarily judge something wholly based on the end of the conclusion, right? But how do they share it? Was it based in evidence? Does that line up with, you know, what seems factual and logical? And if it does, you know, the source, like the evidence is the evidence, like the truth is the truth. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That feels like a politician saying, but
I'll vote for you.
Thank you.
So I think in that, to feed off of what you just said, I think when you get into a circumstance and listen to somebody who might clearly have something they want to tell you, hey, this is what I believe and why I believe, and here's my evidence, is always listening for with a little bit of a flag in your mind to say, hey, if this person, if everything is cut and dried, if everything is this or that, and they operate in extremes, but there is no gray, then probably that's something to worry about. And there is truth, and there is absolute truth, I believe. And I think we can find it places, and the evidence will back it up as well as experience. But there are a lot of places in areas of faith, and in particular, when you look at the Bible, where people would like to make it a black and white argument, and there's just a lot of gray. And
yeah, I feel like when somebody answers a question, one of my favorite things is when I'm asking, specifically I'll relate it to like a theological question. I know some people listening just roll their eyes, but there is something powerful when someone says, yeah, that's a great question. You know, there's a couple different schools of thought on it, and they all have some credibility. I found in like my own study, like based on these things, this is what I've come to be true, but you know what? Walk through it. See if that lines up with what you're thinking. Because I mean, it's like kind of a black and white answer, but it's very like, it could be other stuff and I'm not perfect. And that's just, there's a humility in that process that makes me trust that individual. And so like, if you're talking to somebody and that's how they're speaking versus I think like what you're saying, like, well, it's this. And if you believe something differently, or, you know, if you have a different thought process on it, then, you know, you're the worst.
You're in the wrong.
Yeah.
Well, or God's going to look at you this certain way.
Sure.
I mean, when people start making comments for God, instead of learning about him, then usually there's trouble to follow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like, quick, tiny caveat. I feel like I have to say it. I do think there are certain foundational things that if you don't necessarily believe them, that you're not necessarily following what Jesus said. You know what I mean? Like, there are answers, right? And I realize it's kind of going slightly back on what I'm saying there. Maybe you can help me muddle through this so that we don't have to cut this whole section. But
yeah, the way that it was explained to me one time is that there's a center to the target. Like, if you have a target, there's a center to the target, and there's some real solid, truthful things about that center of the target that everybody that's going to be connected to that have to agree. Hey, yes, that's true.
Yeah.
Was Jesus who he said he was? Yes. I think the Bible bears that out, and so does evidence. Did he die on the cross? Yes. Did he rise from the dead? There's a lot of factual evidence for that, as crazy as that sounds. And so coming to an agreement of who Jesus is and who God is, those are pretty foundational pieces. But when you start looking out here and go, hey, did creation happen in literal 24-hour days, or was it different? That stuff really, I mean, doesn't matter as much, but they're not core things. These are more periphery things that, you know, they're important if you want to read the Bible and trust things, but they're not core issues.
Yeah, it sounds like there's degrees on things that you can be more black and white on versus gray. And, you know, I think the approach to it when somebody's sharing with you is very similar, though. Because if somebody's like, hey, sorry, Jesus did, sorry. You know what I mean? It's like, well, that's not very lot of, you're not walking with me through something.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me try to, I think we went in a lot into like, hey, how do you find answers from people? What does that look like from like, hey, I'm trying to discover, is something reliable or not? Like, I am looking at something on the internet, like a resource or something like that, or somebody's video. I know right now tons of people are learning through social media, YouTube videos, which I think there's a lot of positive in that. And there's like, not necessarily every voice should be counted as like equal. Does that make?
Information literacy is the skill set of this current century.
Ooh, tell me about that.
Well, it used to be that we could count on somebody vetting resources for us. And so when we went and found them, it was already vetted. You know, the encyclopedia set came to your household and it was the authority because it had been vetted. Things that showed up on the news, yes, there was a little bit of a tint to them, but by and large, it had already been vetted. Now with the internet, I mean, anybody can post anything they want, and there's platforms that are free to do that. And so having the ability to look at information and evaluate it is one of the greatest skills that our kids are actually being taught in the education system. Is how do we figure out what's real and what's not, what's fake news and what's not.
I mean, this may be beyond the scope of this conversation, but if you had to give somebody a couple quick pieces of advice on that, what would you say?
I would say start with things you know. Don't just throw a search out there. Start with things you know. And if you don't know anything, then find somebody who does, because that's the best place to start, is to say, hey, I know somebody knows something about this. I'm going to start with them. And then after that, then I'm going to start to branch out a little bit and I'll explore. But if I can get some main ideas right, then I can figure out if the things that as I'm moving out, if they're crazy or not. And so it really comes back to people. No matter how available information is, it's really saying, hey, if I'm going to be responsible in my exploration of anything, I really need to do that not only by myself and not just casting the net out there and let anybody have input. It's vetting it within community.
That's really good. Yeah. I think one other thing I would just add to that is you can't, depending on your willingness to do this, but if you're like, there's like a genuine curiosity, follow the trail of evidence. I was just listening to something the other day about the relation for Christmas and it being like essentially a holiday that was based on like why it was picked for that day, and because of like an appropriation of a culture, essentially. And this person on social media was kind of walking through how to go through the process of, okay, well, how do you vet that? You see somebody make that claim in an article, and then you see, well, here's where they cited their source. Okay, cool, they cited a source. Does that mean you automatically trust it? Go to the source. And it's interesting, he went to like, it was like three steps down before it got to the point where it's like the thing that had been referenced wasn't accurate. And so these other sources had quoted this source that was wrong. They had done a misquote of the actual text. And so it's just really interesting to like, one, I would say you can have a hesitancy when you see something, especially on social media, you know, it hasn't been vetted or something like that. And you jump to an immediate, strong, emotional conclusion based on that, which no one ever does, right? No one would do that.
No.
But if you're willing to be like, okay, how do I vet this? And then if that person, if that source proves accurate, oh, that is what it says, then you've built more trust and credibility for that source going forward.
Well, and I think, so if I can take that type of, okay, the credibility of a source, and take it back to, you know, people have questions about the Bible.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, what about this passage? It seems to say this, and that, that actually doesn't line up with anything that I hear anywhere else or even what I think. Mm. How do I approach a passage that is troublesome for me?
Yeah.
And in either way, and I think there are so many people that are like, well, that's what the text says. And there are so many people that want to prove a point. They're like, well, that's what it says. And so that's what it means. And the, when you talk about the layers of things, that's where this becomes, if you're truly exploring, it takes time.
Yeah.
It takes time to follow the trail of saying, okay, this is what the text says, but there's a verse there that says that, but surrounding that verse, let's talk about the situation and the context. And then surrounding that, let's look at the writer and what were they trying to say centuries ago, that their words might be different than our words, but their word that they use for this might mean something different to us today. So understanding language. And then how do I understand God as a whole? Does that match up with what I think? And then realizing that the Bible tells us that when we look at these types of things, we can't see it all super clear yet because we're human.
Yeah.
And so to be able to say, hey, somebody looked at that verse and they said, that's what it's teaching. And so that eliminates this section of people and it elevates this section of people without going through all those things, that tends to skew a lot of things that are smart. And so when you're looking at resources, to take this all back to that, you got to look for people who are willing to take the time to dig a little bit. And instead of say, well, this is the word and that's what it means and I win, it's saying, hey, here was the concept, here was the situation, here's who God is, and here's how that all plays together. And this is what we can know, and this is what we can't. And that's not an encouraging answer sometimes, but it's a real answer as far as that goes.
Well, what I appreciate about that, a couple things I appreciate about that. One is which it holds this mentality of I'm going to hold on to things appropriately loosely and appropriately tightly. Meaning like if, because I know I can't know everything, if something, some new bit of information comes counter to something that's I've read or can't hold it loose to, my response to that isn't anger or frustration. It is that curiosity. Okay, let's see if that fits. Let's vet it. Let's respond in that way. You know, and I think this is especially true if you're talking with somebody, if you're a follower of Jesus, talking with somebody who's not, and they bring up something to you, they bring up a question, they bring up a point. Our response is so important, right? Because there's this loose, like, oh, interesting. You know, let me think about that. Let me think about how that interacts with that. And it may come back and it's like, oh, actually, you know what? I feel like this, the context is actually over here. Maybe you were thinking it was over here. Or, oh, you know what? You're right. I think that kind of maybe changes my view on this principle, because it could.
Well, and let me add to what you said. If somebody comes to you with a question and they ask the question, the I think asking more questions is a better first step, is to look at them and say, hey, that's an interesting question. Tell me where that came from.
Yeah.
And listen to the journey that they've been on, and then say, well, what have you heard about that already? And because when you can start to hear the context from which that person is asking the question, it may change what question they're actually asking. They may think they're asking this detailed question, but really what they want to know is the Bible reliable? And this is where my proof point is. And so trying to unpack a little bit more of what's going on in the moment and being patient, but not like, hey, let me turn on the big light and interrogate you, but just say, hey, help me understand the journey you're on so that I can actually have a helpful answer, or maybe not an answer, but just some thoughts that could help shape their exploration.
You know, I think it's super interesting because I think you could do that with yourself too, right? When you're when you're asking a question and you're like, ooh, do I want this answer to be a certain thing? And frankly, that's fine if you want that. But it should be helpful to know that going in, because then that might be like, ooh, like you mentioned earlier, I'm looking for this thing to be true. I'm looking for this thing to be false. I don't want it to say that. I don't want there to be evidence of this thing about Jesus, you know? And I think being able to acknowledge, gosh, I'm in this place. I'm on this journey. I have this bias. And you're never really going to be able to fully set that aside. But you can, I think, if you're aware of it, be, okay, am I giving this a reasonable, I think they call it burden of proof. I know that's something they talk about with like the historical accuracy of, or the, just the Bible in general, right? Where one of the common things is like, if any other text had as much proof for being the actual written down words as the Bible, nobody would ever question it. We have so much less proof for things that we don't doubt. Once again, rabbit trail. That's another podcast, I'm sure. But
right. Well, I think in the end, the Bible tells us a lot of things that either we A, don't understand, or B, it we don't want to hear. And so there's an elevated burden of proof, because I want to make sure that if I have to actually engage with this subject at this level, that it's authoritative instead, or at some level more authoritative than just somebody that sat down and decided to write their thoughts. And so anyways,
but that's really good. Yeah. Okay. So, curious, and we need to do a couple rapid fire things here. Cause I know you got to get back to March Madness. How do you decide, hey, how much of research do I need to do on my own versus how much of this research am I involving other people in?
Yeah, I think my encouragement on that one is start by figuring out what question you're actually asking. Are you asking a detailed question, or are you asking like a deeper question? And you got to kind of filter through your own thoughts and emotions with that. And then after you figured out what question you're asking, then I think you start with somebody you trust. And then after you've talked with them and processed through some of that stuff, then I think you go looking at resources, websites, books, those types of things. And here's the key step that I think we sometimes miss: find a way to process what you found with somebody else again, before you decide that something you think is concrete. Because it's going out there and kind of crowdsourcing opinions and perspectives means that you get views from all different sides of the thing, and to process through that with a trusted person again, or a group of people who are curious, there's value in that, in helping you come to conclusions.
And, you know, my last question here is essentially like, what resources would you recommend? And I know one of them. And so I know you're going to recommend Alpha. So I want to give you the floor. You know, if you're listening right now, you're going to get two ends of this spiel right here. I've been through Alpha. It's really great. And it asks questions in such a, and describes some of the content in such a helpful way that if you're trying to figure out what you believe on that foundational level, hey, do I want to follow Jesus? Is this true? And like, I want to have these conversations with people. It's really good. Any more thoughts on Alpha?
You might have done the pitch for me. I think when you start talking about what is Alpha, because somebody out there might hear our experience and be able to extrapolate whatever. Sure. But it's a series of conversations about faith, life, and purpose. And when we start looking at the major questions we ask, especially moving from adolescence into adulthood and into middle adulthood, faith, life, and purpose are big pieces of our exploration of life. And so Alpha builds itself around those types of things and says, hey, we're going to feed you because we don't want you to come in with an empty stomach. So good food is part of it. But then we're going to engage with different questions over a 10-week period. And we're going to listen to what somebody has to say about it, but then we're going to talk as a group and put all those things on the table in a genuine exploration. Mm-hmm. And what you find over those weeks that you're together is, first of all, it makes you think more than you ever thought you would. Mm-hmm. And the questions that you have will lead to another person thinking, oh, I've got a question kind of like that, but a little bit different. And you start to, your brain starts to work. And when you genuinely start thinking and get curious about those types of things, and if you are really seeking to figure out who God is, then I think he comes into the middle of that and you come to conclusions that you didn't think you could. And so that's Alpha in a nutshell. And it's a great experience. And you get to do it with other people who actually become more than just people you banter ideas off of. They become friends.
That's awesome. So we're actually starting up another Alpha group. Is that the right phrase?
Yep.
Group? Yeah.
Yep.
Real mm-hmm. soon. So check it out in the show notes and sign up, be a part of that. Like Brody said, you know, come get some free food. You know, if that's the most helpful thing to get you to come and ask these cool questions and kind of grow your faith or figure out, do I want to have faith? Mm-hmm. We're more than happy to oblige with that free food. So, any other resources that you like? Do you have go-tos that you like to dive into for these types of questions?
Yeah, I've got a bunch of things that I'll rattle through. First would be Right Now Media. And if you go to the Ridge's website, you can get a free membership there. And there's just all sorts of resources out there from people we know to be safe in their thinking and well thought out, and will come from different perspectives on the same issue. So Right Now Media, and if you're out there looking at guys like John Mark Comer or Louis Giglio or J.D. Greer, if you have questions that you're like, hey, I just have questions about faith and how this whole thing works together, and I want a book of them. There's an older book, but it's been redone, called Evidence That Demands a Verdict. And it's by Josh McDowell and Sean McDowell. And they've redone it recently. And there's some stuff in there that you'll be like, but there's a lot of stuff in there that you're like, that makes me think a little bit differently. And now I know where to start looking. And so that's a good resource there. And there's some stuff out on Right Now Media from those guys as well. YouVersion Bible app, there's some great stuff there. There's a Bible app called The Bible Project, and they have a number of videos that you can go through with the kind of whiteboard drawings and stuff like that, where they just explain what's going on in the Bible. And sometimes it just helps to see somebody talk through it so you can catch a vision for what the bigger story is. And so that's good. And then there's a website called the Gospel Coalition, and there's some really good stuff out there, including if you're really looking at questions about faith and how do you answer certain things, there's something out there called the Keller Center for Cultural Apologetics. I know.
Somebody just turned off the podcast. But
what it is there's a guy named Tim Keller, and he's a really measured and intelligent and really had a good perspective on how to go about talking about things like this.
Yeah.
And they started a center for saying, here's what's going on in culture. How do we make sense of that and our faith? And it's a good location to try to look for things that you can say, well, I might not agree with everything, but it's a trusted voice. And so I think those are some things there. If you're looking for books, because I know I recommended actually reading a paper and, you know, cardboard book. There's an older book, but it's really helpful, called How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth. Mm-hmm. And it's by Ken Fee, F-E-E is the last name. Really good, solid book. And it just helps you if you want to read the Bible and you want to start understanding it differently. It's a great way to say, oh, this is how I do that, and this is how I consider things. And then there's just a lot of study Bibles out there. If you want to look and say, hey, what does something mean? Go to Barnes and Noble, pick one of the study Bibles off, go sit at a chair and look up what you're looking for. And there's all sorts of references and helps there. And sometimes that can be really helpful in getting you jump started on some different things. So there was a whole list of things there. Sorry, I just blew through them.
Boom. You're gonna have to send me that list. We'll put them in the show notes. Once we vet them and really go through and see if those are well-sourced, Brody. no, we'll throw them in the show notes.
As really you good. Should.
You nailed it with Timothy Keller. His book, The Reason for God, I think is probably one of the best apologetic-esque, like kind of starting from scratch, thinking logically mm-hmm. through faith is really was really powerful and impactful on me and my faith journey. If you want really quick hits too, gotquestions.org. Mm-hmm. You can ask really quick questions and... You know, you can vet some of the stuff, but it'll give you Bible verses of backing up those responses and can give you a framework for some quick thoughts on those things. Yeah, that's great.
I think whatever you do, whatever resource you look at, there's going to be things that you agree with and there's going to be things that cause you tension. Yeah. And the key is don't throw out the resource because you have tension. Work through the tension of the question.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. Sure. Any closing thoughts? I mean, that was kind of a bunch of closing thoughts, but
long meandering conversation. I think my closing thought is don't be afraid to ask hard questions. The way that I usually put it, and you may cut this from the podcast, but God's a big boy. He can handle our questions. Yeah. And I think that sometimes we feel like maybe we're betraying family or betraying history or betraying our faith if we really start to wonder about these things or we have doubts mm-hmm. about certain things. And I would say, don't run away from that stuff, because when we run away from it, it just festers and gets bigger. But if we embrace doubt and we embrace curiosity and we really go looking with an honest exploration, then we'll find answers and we'll be a better person because of it.
Mm, that's so good. You know what? Find a trusted person, be a trusted person, and you're on your way. Hey, Brody, thank you so much. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for downloading our brains with so much good stuff and resources and stuff. And it's really good and helpful. So thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the time.
Well, that was my conversation with Brody. And here's my encouragement. If you're still trying to figure out what you believe about God, what you believe about Jesus, check out Alpha. You owe it to yourself to really dive in and wrestle through those big questions. Now, you can check out the show notes and the description of this video for a link to Alpha, as well as a lot of the other resources that Brody mentioned. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Ridge Podcast. And make sure to follow and subscribe so that you don't miss any hopeful and helpful conversations.